Evening, everybody. Sorry, Peter. Assuming that's Henry. Okay, that's us now. Okay, so we're going to just start tonight's meeting for SPNR. So item number one on the agenda is any apologies. We'll have Conor Mallon and Councillor Brennan and Marie Ward. Thank you. Okay. Item number two, any declarations of interest? Appear to be. Sorry, thanks, Ryan Wright.
Thanks, Chair. Number 17 is note only. I don't want to zip past it without getting a chance to comment, so I just wanted to declare an interest in speaking on item 17.
17. Yeah. Sorry, sir. You want to speak on item 17?
Yes.
Yeah. No, that's fine. Thank you. Item number three, action sheet arising from SPNR committee meeting held on the 18th of June 2023. Any issues arising from that? You need a proposer and seconder for that, don't you, sir?
Yes.
Can you just have a proposer and seconder for item number three, please? Okay, thank you, Councillor Howell as proposer and Councillor Hanlon as seconder. Okay, so we'll move on to item number four, the officer report on notice of motion regarding the memorial to Cross Guard Titanic victim James McGrady, and I'll hand over to Colin for that, please.
Thank you very much, Chair. This relates to the officer report on a notice of motion. It was regarding the memorial to Cross Guard Titanic victim James McGrady. The matter is referred to the Equality and Good Reasons Reference Group for discussion. Our meeting took place on the 1st of August. The members discussed the context of the notice of motion, and in general, there was support for a Titanic-style bench on the Caden Cross Garn and Information Panel. Reference to the Titanic explained Cross Garn's link to the Titanic and James McGrady, who's recording the last body recovered. Just to set the context of this, there are resource implications for council if they proceed with this, resource implications associated with the notice of motion, including the cost of purchasing, designing a bench and information panel, installation and ongoing maintenance. And just to note as well, although council may make a decision upon this, it would purely be the council making a support of the actions with regard to the notice of motion. Should the council agree to approve the notice of motion, it still needs to progress as per the council's policy on naming council facilities, which is undertaken by a three officer assessment panel. And obviously the assessment panel, it takes into consideration matters around budget, availability, appropriateness of the proposal, what the context would be, what would actually be in the letter of offer, what would maybe offer to the applicant if they're successful. And matters which were discussed at the reference group in many respects were about the location, maintenance, wording, and whether there are victims from the Titanic lived within the council area. So it's just to put that to councillors.
Thank you. Councillor Bothy, you're not actually able to propose as you're not a committee member, so I can't take your proposal. I'm going to take, I see Councillor Lewis, you have seconded, but I'm going to take in Councillor Hanlon as for a comment. Yes. Oh, Councillor Bothy, you can speak to the motion, you just can't propose it.
Yes, so it's believed to be the last survivor or last victim of the Titanic to have been found in the Atlantic Ocean. Came from Crossgar, Rocks Chapel Road, and as we discussed at the Good Relations Committee, there was a question about whether there were others from the council area. To date, we can't seem to trace any. We would suspect that if, you know, 28 being from Northern Ireland, presumably maybe three were from the area, but it's very hard to track down where specifically they would be from. And the idea was this would fulfill a need in the Square and Cross car, as there's currently not a public bench there. So rather than just having sort of a standard sign or plaque, this actually addresses a need in the square. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Hanlon.
Look, it's a good motion, and as I had said, in good relations, if no objections to it at all, or the party doesn't. What I would just want to have clarification on is that there is a council policy against naming benches, against or memorialising them and naming them against deceased persons. We, as councillors, day and daily, will get requests for benches for people who have lost loved ones, which is having to be, I suppose, knocked back because the policy is there. So in regards to this motion, I just want some sort of assurity that we're not veering out of the policy of council, you know, in terms of that, and setting a precedent that maybe would insult people who have been turned down in the past, or, you know, cause greater distress to them. I suppose Councillor Bowsey did touch on the point I was going to make. Did we ever get to the bottom if there was any other, victims of the Titanic in the Newry Morning Down Council area? Councillor Bowsey doesn't seem to think there may be, and I can appreciate that would be hard to determine, because maybe there mightn't be any records of where they maybe came from, especially if they were down in Steering and they maybe, you know, there's just nothing there. So I just would want to have that that assurance that we're not going outside the council policy here. And I suppose, how do we determine the need for council benches? Because I know we get requests for them all the time. So does that marry into each other with the motion? So just a couple of questions more than anything.
Yeah, just to clarify, Councillor Hanlon's right. The councillor's policy on naming council facilities, we do not accept applications to memorialise an individual or a family. Just to say, the policy itself covers requests regarding the naming of a facility, naming of a room, park benches, and also plaques. However, what the conclusion and the discussion which was discussed at the meeting was about an information panel would be outside of that, in that it's not a specific memorial to an individual, and that's why the context was that you'd be an information panel referencing the Titanic, explaining Cross Guards Link, and actually the aspect that James O'Grady, who's recorded as the last body recovered. I was in contact with the Titanic Society. From what I gather, they haven't been able to provide any further names, but we would still follow up on that. And also to advise, if this did move to an officer assessment panel, we always look to include an officer responsible for that facility, and also maybe the grounds maintenance, and also responsible for organising park benches and that. So that would be looked within that context in the decision making.
Okay, thank you for that.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Listen, we support what's, you know, why the motion was brought forward, but I suppose, just as you've outlined there through the process, I sat on Quality and Good Relations for a number of years, and I know when it gets through that, it's probably going to fall one of those hurdles, because you're talking about the individual named. But then we have other memorials where you've got, like, William Alley and Pat Jennings, and I know they're separate, so we have to address the reason why they are separate. Just when you're talking about, we're yet to find somebody else, I was reading through the notes, and I know you had a discussion with other people that were in it, on the Titanic from the district. And maybe, just from your last comment, I'm going to look for a job in the Titanic Society, because there has been a man from Jonesborough in South Armagh, James Heslin, who died on the Titanic. He moved to Liverpool, married his wife, Biddy Burns, came back and took over the family farm in Edenapa in Jonesborough. And he died on the Titanic, and his body wasn't recovered. His wife went on to live to the fair age of 104 and only died in 1967, and has many family members about the area. So when we're talking about a bench to one person, we can't insult others across the district without leaving them out. And maybe not going down through something where we're putting a bench in place if that's not possible. But even making reference to them at the museums, or, you know, documenting the people from our district that died on the Titanic so that their name is forever recognised. I think that'd probably be a way of going forward on this. But yeah, support the sentiment of the motion.
Just obviously, Councillor Byrne, yes, we have three types of policies here. We have the policy on naming council facilities, and it covers plaques, benches, naming of facilities itself. We have the policy with regard to artworks and sculptures, which is a separate policy. Any applications through that process, any applications which come to council, those are sent to the Equality and Good Relations Reference Group members. If any one of those members objects to that moving forward, it doesn't proceed to assessment. The third policy in place is actually, we have a policy on trees, request to plant trees in council property. So, and that's considered as well. But again, it doesn't allow any plaques or adornments to grow with the tree. So it becomes a tree which will grow within the fabric of wherever it's planted. So it's just to provide the context of the three different policies.
Yeah, and Chair, maybe just on the point of a way of moving forward to recognise the people in our district that died on the Titanic, which I think is the essence of the motion that was brought forward. If we can look into that and include James Heslin from Jonesrup in South Armagh, there's a raft of details on his life and his late wife's life as well. But that, I think that'd be a good way to go forward.
Thank you, Andrews.
Thank you very much, Chair. I know I'm not a member of the committee.
Sorry, Councillor.
I'll defer to the to committee members then.
Apologies.
Yeah, thanks very much, Madam Chair. I think it's a lovely proposal. And council policies more designed to make it an equal playing field in the modern time. You know, family bereavements and people who sadly pass away young or whatever, I can understand the council policy that you can't be discriminatory and allow one name and then not allow another. So I totally understand the policy. But this is a historical recognition of something that happened 111 years ago now. And the council has recognised maritime disasters before at the Newry Canal, for example, and I think there's a memorial there to the Albion and Retriever tragedy. It was 1913, I think it was, the two vessels collided in Carlingford Lough and a lot of loss of life. So there's a precedent for historical martyrs, memorials, and it could be very well done, Madam Chair. It could be done with a piece of ice, granite, and you know, the Titanic, an image of it on it. And Rowallan Ward is actually a very appropriate location because the designer of the Titanic lived in Rowallan, what's now Rowallan. So it's a nice proposal. And I know we never want to commercialise a tragedy, but there is a Titanic trail that attracts thousands and thousands of people to Northern Ireland every year. And I'm sure that something like this could be included in that, that would bring visitors into Crossgar and expose tourists to the lovely area that it is. So I'd like to formally propose it that we accept. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Riley. Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair. And I just was thinking, I was just listening to the contribution so far. Maybe another avenue that the council could go down. I know Councillor Bowsey was involved with a project in Crossgar with information boards, you know, and there's a few of them placed around Crossgar, again, the history of the village. Maybe that could be an avenue to go down to recognise the local connection with the Titanic. And maybe another option that we could look at as well is that I know what we were involved in the council several years ago with the Blue Circle, you know, that you can put in a wall somewhere, and maybe the likes of, you know, James, the name of the deceased, and maybe the last body recovered from the Titanic. Maybe that there could be an idea that we could look at, you know, information panels and the Blue Circles, Colin, you know what I'm talking about. Maybe that could be an avenue that you know, we could go down as a council, but I'm happy enough to, you know, to support in principle the motion as a non-member of the committee. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Ben, I'll let you come in quickly again.
Yeah, just briefly, just now that Councillor Byrne has revealed that there actually is somebody else in the district, that does that change the kind of what we're doing? You know, are we going to just make it generic to the victims of the Titanic now? Because Pete's going to go and give the Titanic Society his view on a written paper. But, you know, I suppose my earlier point was, it's difficult to find that information if maybe it's local knowledge as well. So I'm just wondering, I'm pretty sure that we did discuss interpretive panels already, that would, you know, that would give the history for maybe like the likes of my daughter coming along wouldn't particularly know what the relevance of it is. So, yeah, so I'm just wondering, does that change things slightly? Because
If I can say it doesn't, it doesn't. In many respects, as an officer, what we need is what does the council agree in with regards to what they wish to go forward for the assessment panel to look at. So it's up to yourself what you wish to do, and then for the officer assessment panel to look at the context of that budget, location, what it would be. Because there's a lot of proposals on the table here, be it information or a stroke interpretive panel, a potential bench along with it to a museum project in some respect. So it's almost if you need to figure out exactly what you want to do before the assessment panel would go to look at it.
Thank you. Councillor McAteer?
This shows you when you open out a debate or a subject how it does stretch this in every way. And I do think that, and I was thinking of the retriever in Carnforth Lough, I'm not sure Councillor Reddy is over at all. I'm certainly not, in terms of Down Cahill. Is the people's name, for example, on those two boats anywhere recorded publicly? Or was this, if it was it preceding the council? Do you know, and that wouldn't be tied up in that? Because it just opens up, and I know most people probably would pass no remarks on whatever happens in Crosscar at the end of the day, you know. But if you somebody come along and starts then pointing, you know, well, why did you ignore, you know, I have relatives died in such and such a tragedy here. And I think that, see, there will be thrashed out, I suppose, committee, but it opens up a whole plethora of challenges when you get down this road and doing things. And the best intentions were made at the end of the day, and that can't be forgotten either, you know. So it's just by way of comment, but I think you have to thread very carefully in this. And as more and more information comes in, you leave yourself more exposed, as you said, you know, as well, you know. So I'm sure it'll be all fed into that particular board. Thanks.
So I'm sort of a bit now, is it, we have a proposer and a seconder for how the motion sits, but there's been a lot of debate in the chamber, so.
Don't mean to say a few things?
Yes, come on ahead.
Just firstly, thank you to Councillor Byrne for the extra information. And I certainly wouldn't want other victims to not be recognised either. I suppose I would suggest maybe a separate motion for those if councillors in those areas would like something recognised. I would be keen for in Crossgar for it to be for that one victim, because it's specific to Crossgar. The memorial wording in the motion, I'd be happy to amend the motion to take out memorial. I suppose it's really unnecessary, because as Colin has said, it's more of an informational bench. You're providing information just about Crossgar's Titanic connection. The idea of a seat was it addresses a need, and it would be a Titanic style bench to show that connection with the Titanic. An information panel, yep, that could be an option too, but I was sort of trying to think outside the box and address a need. The blue circle, I've looked into those things before, and nearly impossible to get a blue circle. You have to be like some sort of president or something. But yes, I take on board all the comments and thank you for your contributions.
Thank you. Just before we make any decision, yes, Councillor Byrne, you have a question?
Yeah, a question, and I suppose it's a question and a proposal. On 2.1, it talked about the discussion to look to see if there was any fraud of victims, and there was no information on that. Councillor Bowsey stated that he couldn't find any fraud of victims, and Colin said the same. Now, with that information coming to light, it is not a standalone bench for one person. I think it would be quite insensible that we support the motion. It would be insensitive to other families who lost victims in the Titanic in our district. And I think that it would warrant further discussion now that we know that there is a definite victim from Jonesborough. And if it goes back to equality and good relations, with that information, there can be a broader discussion on doing something more centrally. And maybe it might go off into saying, do something in the museums to mark both people on either side of the district, but a bench in Crossgar would not recognise James Heslin from Jonesborough. So it's sort of a proposal as well.
Okay.
Sure. The Newry Maritime Association, I'm sure they would be delighted to put a plaque in Jonesborough. And that would take it out of the council remit then. But,
I'm going to take Josephine in.
I suppose the proposal here is about preparing a report for council. And I wonder if there's a way forward there. I mean, there has been a lot of discussion here, but I'm just reading what's here, which is to provide a report.
Chair, if you don't mind, that's exactly my point. It's prepare a report on James McGrady to go forward after he's discussed the Equality and Good Relations. Now, with more information, a broader discussion would have a more rounded report and give officers a clearer direction, because officers can offer a direction for a memorial or some sort of plaque or bench in Crossgar, and we're told that other victims of the Titanic, we can deal with that separately. I don't think that's the right way to go forward. I think it's deeply insensitive to do that. So with the new information, let's have a bit of a discussion on Equality and Good Relations and let Colin know what direction he's going to offer before a report's put in. That's why I propose to go back. I think it's the right thing to do.
Okay, so Councillor Taylor.
Yep, thanks, Chair. Chair, listen, I've taken in what's been discussed. Quite a bit of information has been brought forward here now. And I suppose we are in a bit of a dilemma in respect of it, because I was part of the discussion that took place at the Equality and Good Relations Forum. And I certainly don't want to see a situation where obviously Councillor Bowsey's proposal is diluted to an extent where it's not recognisable. You know, he's obviously taking the time to do his research and work on this. And we should appreciate that. And that doesn't mean you override any policy or anything like that. Policy has to be considered as part of any decision that we make, obviously. We have to abide by that. But I'm conscious that maybe on the basis of the additional information that Pete has brought forward tonight, which is obviously in my own area as well, I think we need to take a bit more time to consider all of the aspects of this, because there could be obviously other victims, as has been outlined tonight, and maybe a few options could be brought to the table where we're not left just for making a particular decision tonight, where a wee bit of extra time and a bit more work is done on this issue that allows councillors to give a more full consideration of the issues that are arising now, as I say, because at one point we only thought there was one victim. That obviously isn't the case now. And if there's further research done, and I know I understand you have to put some sort of time frame on it, but I just wouldn't want us to rush into anything and maybe do something then that we regret, or something that we haven't given full consideration to everything that could have been done. So there's a report to be done, but maybe if we could look at further aspects in terms of where there is the potential that other victims do arise, what can we do? What are the options? Can we facilitate Councillor Bowsey's request or something in the Jonesborough area? Or again, if another victim arises in that area, it's trying to I suppose it's trying to give everybody the best opportunity to consider all the options that are available so that we don't dilute Councillor Vizey's proposals at a point where it's not recognisable, but we make sure that everybody is taken on board when making this decision. I think, as I said, because the information that has been provided tonight, it's just not as clear cut now as it previously would have been. So I think there's a wee bit more work to do on it to give councillors the best opportunity to give us the consideration that it deserves. I don't think it should be rushed anyway, and I think obviously, and I know Councillor Bowser, you'll want to see, you know, obviously progress on this as soon as you can. But I think first of all, to give the matter full and proper consideration, I think we do need to take a wee bit of extra time to consider whatever information there is that arises over the coming weeks on this. So again, it's more a comment than anything. I'm not making a particular proposal, but I think we do need to take a wee bit more time to consider what else could arise as a result of this, because there could be potentially other victims, as we've already found out tonight.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Taylor. I'm going to take Councillor Hannan in for one last time.
Just very briefly, so do we need to defer the motion back to good relations? Is that what we're, because given there's more information has come to light tonight, rather than, you know, all these different proposals are coming through to keep the motion as it is, to go to the Newry Maritime, you know, to take all that into consideration and have another, like, discussion around it and bring a report back that encompasses all of that?
Okay, so do you want to come in with that, Sarah?
Yeah, so obviously, because Councillor Burns was an amendment as such to the original proposal by Councillor Riley, then if Councillor Riley agrees to put it back to the Equality and Good Relations, then that becomes a substantive motion.
Yeah, I'm okay with that, just to, if it's going to give the Council further clarification. It's also important that it's noted that Councillor Bowsey has asked that the terminology memorial be removed from the motion, because I think that will make it easier for the Council.
Okay, so Councillor Riley, you're happy to accept Pete's amendment that we send back to good relations and it be further explored? Everybody in agreement? Okay. Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you. So we'll move on to item number 5, the revised terms of reference for Councillors Equality and Good Relations Reference Group. Colin.
Yeah, members, we've circulated this just for decision. As with any reference groups and working groups, we had circulated this at the Equality and Good Relations Reference Group's updated with respect to the new changes of political party membership, and also to reflect that it's not a decision-making space and it's not chaired by a member of council. It's actually facilitated by an independent facilitator.
So I have a proposal from Councillor Sharvin. I just need a seconder, and a seconder from Councillor Howell. Thank you. Nobody wants to speak. Okay, thank you. We'll move on to item number 6, the new council complaints handling procedure. And Jerry's coming up to deliver that report. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. You've had circulated to you a copy of a report which includes three parts which encompass the new complaints handling procedures. These procedures are mandatory on all local government in Northern Ireland. They set out in some detail the way in which the procedure will operate, and it operates along such standard principles of good complaints handling. This follows a range of consultations that were carried out in over the period of from August 2021, and also included a group of officers from each of the 11 councils who met under the auspices of an operational network. And the new model complaints handling procedure emerged from that. It was published on the 1st of July and must be implemented by the 1st of January 2024. There are various parts to the model complaints procedure. The first is the procedure itself, which really sets out a two-stage process for handling complaints. The second part is really organisational guidance, which is a document which gives guidance for officers in actually implementing the actual requirements of the procedure. And the third is really a publicly facing document for anyone who wishes to make a complaint. Each of the three parts can be modified to an extent by council, but there are certain key aspects that must remain in order to ensure compliance with the Ombudsman's guidance on the procedure. Council will obviously be advised as we start to implement this. Councillors themselves will receive some training, as will obviously officers who will be at the sharp end of this. At this stage, you have the three documents which are in draft with which have been subject to minor modification to relate them to our own council. And really, it's for members to discuss those if they wish or to adopt them as required. I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Jerry. I see I have a proposer and seconder in Councillor Enright. And Kelly, do you wish to speak or comment?
Yes, Chair. I just welcome the fact that we now have a clear procedure, which I understand, I suppose this is a question, will allow people, if they're not satisfied with decisions within council, to go to local government ombudsman. Because I know in the past I've come across situations whereby people who have been unhappy with decisions of council have faced either a management diktat or a political decision on a particular issue that didn't have any relationship to the legal or underlying issues involved. So having a third party able to review the behaviour and management of council is an excellent thing. As we all know, we as councillors have been subject to this for some considerable time, and it's been possible to make a complaint about councillors, but it's not been possible to make a complaint to a third party. Well, it has been possible, but the procedure has not been in place with clarity to how people could make a complaint to the Ombudsman. So I just welcome this, Chair.
Thank you.
Chair, sorry, point of clarity. Is it not true that this process has always existed and that members or complainants could always submit this to the Ombudsman? This is not something new.
Yes, that's correct. I suppose where there's a certain simplification in that under the existing arrangements, we have a three-stage system. This will then be a two-stage system, which means that I suppose in theory it can reduce the period of time. If someone is unhappy, that it eventually would arrive with the Ombudsman.
Thank you. Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Actually, that was one of my comments. The three-stage down to two-stage, that has to be welcomed. Speeds up the process. But also that public-facing document that you talked about, Jerry, I think it's really, really clear. And it takes a member of the public through the complaints stage. And obviously, this is mandatory to adopt, but I have no issues with adopting it in its current form. It states in one of the documents, the quarterly publishing of complaints stats for the public to view. Where will they be published when this is adopted? They're probably already published. It'd be fascinating to see the stats every quarter. But if the public view, would that be something that's on the website? Surely doesn't come back to a committee.
Certainly the proposal is to be transparent in terms of the type and nature of number of complaints which are received and dealt with by council. There will be standard guidance issued by the Ombudsman's Office, and again, there's work ongoing as to the specific format that will take, but it will certainly be Internally, there will be quarterly reports,
yeah.
And externally, on an annual basis, there'll be a report which will be available to the Ombudsman and clearly to members of the public to be able to scrutinise the type and number of complaints received by the council during a period of time.
Yeah, happy to support. I was going to propose it, but it's already proposed here by Cadogan.
Thank you. So
it's a legal.
Okay, so proposed by Councillor Enright and seconded by Councillor Kelly. Thank you. Okay, so we'll move on to item number 7, the revised records management policy and procedures. And Adele's going to present this paper.
Thank you, Chair. Members will have received the revised records management policy and procedure, which we are seeking to replace the current policy and procedure. Chair, I'll take the report as read, but just to summarise, the main amendments are covered in section 2 of the report, and within the policy and procedure itself, the amendments are in track changes in red and blue text. Happy to take any questions, Chair.
Chair, thank you. Adele, Councillor Riley.
Yeah, Chairman, I looked through those papers you presented, and it's massive volumes of information. So I think in a situation like this, we just have to trust your recommendation, and I so propose.
Thank you, Councillor Riley. And I just need a seconder then.
Yes, I'm happy to second, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Lewis. And Councillor Byrne, you have a question?
Yeah, a very brief question. See, in the report it talks about the one issue about training, the e-learning module, about the numbers taking up the training. Does that take in us as councillors? Because we've raised in this forum a number of times before that you'd constantly send out, you have a course, and it looks like a scam email. So that needs to be addressed, and it hasn't been addressed yet. And you would get training numbers up if that's addressed, because there's actually a caution at the top. This outside the council, do not click it, and it's coming from some weird address. So most of us have 40 courses to do, but I don't think anyone's going to click on them. So maybe address that, and that them numbers will go up.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair, and thank you to the member. It's a really good point, and yes, we are trying to address that. I'm in talks with Sarah in terms of going and delivering bespoke training around records management and access to information to councillors, so you can look forward to that. Okay, thank you, Chair.
Thank you. So I just need a seconder then for that paper. Oh, sorry, Councillor Lewis, sorry. Wasn't on the chat. Sorry, apologies. Thank you. Thank you, Adele. Okay, so item number 8, council decision-making process. I'll hand over to Josephine.
Thank you, Chair. This paper is for noting this evening. It came out of one of the actions from our last meeting. If you remember, there was quite a lot of discussion about whether officers bringing forward reports with motions, etc. So I think that this information had been provided, you know, a while ago, but we thought it was really important that we brought it forward after the last meeting. So in the papers here, you have what happens to motions within a council meeting and then also at a subcommittee meeting of the council. So it's there for noting, and if there are any questions, happy to take them.
Thanks for Sharvin.
Yeah, Chair. Who doesn't love a good flowchart? Well, what I'll say, first of all, Chair, is Appendix 1 looks good. Appendix 2, I think there's a wee bit of wording that we may want to review and consider. At NM2, it clearly states a motion tabled along with the officer's report at next official committee meeting. I think we would feel more comfortable with suitable committee meeting. A next available committee meeting could mean within the same month, rather, as we know, it is the following month as given practice to give officers time. To me, available sounds like it's going to be, so if there's an ERT referred on the Monday, then the following Monday you're going to have it, and that's not what is happening in practice. So I think suitable committee meeting would be better. Then at NAM3, it says motion moved and presented by original proposer. I think the word moved is where it's slightly confusing, because obviously, as we have seen here tonight, Councillor Bowsey had proposed his own item, but obviously he is not a member of this committee, so he is not able to move or propose. He can speak to it. So it's sort of like in a world of a flowchart, you'd have a yes-no scenario. Is this a member of the committee? Yes, they can propose. If they're not a member of the committee, then they're not able to propose. And then you'd have another step of another member proposing it. So that's just a couple of feedback points.
Councillor.
Okay. We'll take those comments away. I think it's really useful that we, you know, that it's here in front of people and happy to look at clarity. I think once we get this sorted, you know, happy to bring this back to this committee, but I think it'll be useful to go to the other subcommittees as well. So, as I know, well, I'm new and there's others that are new, that we have these in front of us so that it is clear. And if there is wording that makes this clearer, we'll have to look whether we do any more yes, no's on this piece of paper. But we'll look to see what clarity we can bring. But it'd be good then to have them under these desks, the front here. So if there are evenings where we go off with different motions or whatever, we can refer back to our flowchart.
Sorry, Sarah. Just in terms of the wording, the word moved, it's taken directly from standing orders, which, as you know, are a bit antiquated. But that's what... that's what it says in the standing orders. Now, we obviously can amend that to make it more clear in terms of who presents it at the committee.
Okay.
But maybe not a yes no member. Not
unless Councillor Sharvin wishes to provide that flowchart, Sarah.
Sarah, I do flowcharts day and deal. I can send Sarah an Excel sheet that also has to get put in the information that produces it for her. So there's a hub. Should be a conflict of interest there, if all for my skills.
Councillor Hanlon.
Yeah, I really welcome this paper wholeheartedly, because I think we've seen all too often where members are convoluting the process because they haven't actually read the standing orders themselves, or maybe read them but not understood them through no fault of their own. And I know there's standing order training now coming up at the end of the month, but I think, you know, certain parties have politicised the process over the last couple of weeks, and they've called out the Sinn Féin chair for not following process. And as much as we like to, you know, be slightly rebellious on things, we do follow the rules. And I do think, you know, it's really important that this is put in as a matter of record on council on how things are followed, because any decision made by the chair is made under standing orders, and it's not done to try and stifle any debate or, you know, make any motion go into somewhere where it's not meant to go. And I think Councillor Sharvin made a really pertinent comment about the fact that it doesn't necessarily go straight away, because if we look in, and we could go into the minutiae of it tonight, go into the call-in process, something goes to full council, you need 5 days. That 5 days won't give enough time for an officer report. So there's so many other layers to this that can just be fired out on social media as just, oh, everybody was so hard done by, and that's not the case. So I think this is one of the most important papers I've seen coming, especially for new members into council, to get everybody over the detail going forward, that we can have good, healthy debate, and, you know, we all know exactly how to put the processes through.
Thank you. Councillor Taylor.
I think it was Councillor Hanlon saying that Sinn Féin had the S-Behave party in council now. Is that just the question in there about people causing trouble? No, listen, I welcome the report as well, because I know even myself, and it wasn't through a lack of understanding the standing orders, but it was really just, I remember in recent weeks we had a discussion regarding an amendment to a motion, and the fact that people that wanted to speak on a motion hadn't been able to speak, and there was queries about where we actually stood on that, and nobody could really give a definitive answer on it. So I think this type of, you know, document that's been produced tonight is useful, and we all need to take the time and look at it and read it, and obviously get a full understanding of it, so that when we are going forward, that we do know that there's no particular, you know, mischievousness been made by any particular councillor. Because I know even there has been some questions asked in again recent months about motions, for instance, not going straight to the next committee meeting, and there has been reasons for that as outlined here. So, and I think Sarah did I was going to propose, but Sarah has already mentioned the word. It talked about moving a motion. I was going to suggest that the word be changed to present, you know, just within that particular section that Councillor Sharvin had mentioned. So if that could, I don't know if that even needs to be proposed, but it was just a suggestion. But Sarah had mentioned that word anyway, just before I obviously got into speak. So, but listen, I welcome the document. It's useful for all of us as councillors to get a full understanding of where we are and how procedures are active. And listen, anybody that's ever chaired a committee or a full council meeting will know that it's the worst job in the chamber. You can never please everybody. So even this hopefully would make life easier for them whenever they're chairing the respective meetings over the next term. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Taylor. And Sarah has took note of the wording that has been mentioned over the course of the discussion and is going to look at that about changing and then coming back and representing. Councillor McAteer?
Yeah. Chair, yeah, I'm looking at this again, and it strikes me is that NMN9 actually should happen much sooner than at the end, because you've already got your outcome. I thought it should have followed NMN6 possibly, or else between NM5 and NM6, because the summing up is a bit pointless when to be voted on. You really should sum up after a debate. You always sum up after a debate, and you listen to, first of all, you he or she puts a proposal in, you listen to the discussion, you agree or disagree with it, sometimes amendments appear. Summing up is at that stage. Not after everything. She might as well go home, as I said the last night. You know, whether it's all over. So that is, there is the point. Before any vote, you should, people should still have time to make up their mind what way they're thinking on it, as with reference to the proposer and what, you know, the proposer might hear something, agree, disagree, as it says here and that. So I do think that's placed in the wrong spot.
Okay. So do you think that, just to clarify, do you think NM9 should be either after NM5 or 6?
Probably 6. Okay. Makes sense. But that's what I'm saying. It's too late.
Sometimes you do.
You see, people who are asked to sum up, before you go to a vote, the proposer normally sums up, and then the rest of your colleagues make up their minds whether...
That happens, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it makes sense. I couldn't, coming to the end, why would a proposer, after the decision's been taken, bother their backside and someone up when it's all over? You just say thanks? You know what I mean?
Okay, what we'll do, we'll take away all the comments, and we'll look at the standing orders, and we'll bring back from the next meeting. A revised, we're having looked at the standing orders, and then we won't give it to any other subcommittees until it's through this one. Is that okay? And I know Sarah has looked at the other committees as well, but we'll take those comments away and look at our flow chart. But thank you for all the comments.
Welcome.
I hear you there. Councillor Taylor, did you want to come in again?
Yeah, just right briefly, Chair. It was just to clarify, we're not making a decision on this obviously tonight. So can we as reps, obviously study this whenever it comes back with the amendments, be given the opportunity even before any committee meeting to put further representation in, if we think that's required.
Right. Yeah, this is the process that we've been following. It's just putting it out in. We've kind of just updated it in terms of the flowchart. Any change to this would be a change to the standing orders, because these are all taken directly out of the standing orders, which would mean then you can't discuss it when you're wanting to change it, because it has to wait for a month before then you can bring it back to discuss. Yeah. If there was... If it's a change to like the wording or things like that, then probably that would be okay, or the order, but the premise of it we can't really change, because it is the position in standing orders.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's just that, again, if there is anything, any concerns regarding the wording or whatever, that we have that opportunity to do that. Just, okay.
So if there are any queries or comments, if you could email Sarah, we'll collect them together. And as long as it all remains within standing orders, we're happy to look at the changes. And we'll bring it back. This is not for just noting that we're not going to say anything tonight. We'll bring it back to the next meeting.
We can also look at this, how it fits in at the training and standards. We can bring it in and kind of have more of a discussion on it as well.
Thank you.
Thanks, in relation to how it fits in with the standard orders.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks,
Sarah.
Thank you.
Everybody happy? I feel like Councillor Barner, Councillor Sharvin are itching to come back.
Just a very brief point. I'm not itching about it. Because the reason why this came in, right, obviously we're noting processes, and sometimes you don't follow the processes, because Sarah, you say at the end of a full council meeting, is everybody happy after something else done? That's neither here nor there. It was more about the reason when motions come and they go to committee, they need to have a paper from an officer, and that the officer's recommendation is moved to the committee and you can put amendments. That's where we had the argument a couple of months ago, because I could come in and put, you know, a proposal forward and not have an officer recommendation. So happy enough to note, yeah, but listen, the queries are all taken on board.
So I don't need a proposal.
Yeah, for that. Just bring it in.
Okay, so we just need a proposer and seconder to note what is happening and that all is going to be brought back and discussed. Everybody's in their own.
I
just need a proposer and seconder for noting. Councillor Hyle is happy to propose and Councillor Burns happy to second. Thank you. Okay, so we'll move on to item number 9, the business continuity policy. Kevin?
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to take the report as read, but in summary, under the remit of emergency planning, we have developed the attached business continuity policy and the draft templates. This policy basically aims to ensure that all departments identify their key risks and concerns, and that there's developed backup strategies to mitigate or avoid the impact of any disruptive events such as a cyber attack or any other pandemics. So basically we can continue to operate business as usual. Coming tonight to ask members to consider the policy and the attached templates and to approve it.
Great, thank you. So I need a proposer and seconder or any questions?
Yeah, happy to propose, but if we change the director to Ms. Josephine Kelly from Doreena Cavill, happy to propose.
Okay. Yes.
Can I ask, Caelan, the tendering that came in as part of EU directive, where you have the standoff period where other tenders can lodge an objection, do we still operate that, even though we're out of the EU now? Yep. Oh, sorry.
Fundamentally, yes. It's the same OGU guidelines and timeframes are still in place, even though we're sort of out of the EU. It's the Northern Ireland Public Procurement Policy and the revised policy following Brexit still operates those guidelines.
Councillor Riley, did you want to follow up there?
No, I'll
Okay. Okay, Councillor McAteer.
Sorry, yeah, it was just all these bamboozled by acronyms. I just want to know who SHIP was. SHIP. What? Great. Yeah, it's always good to have these. Most of them. No, it's not even in this. Is it where? What page?
Okay, so I'm looking at proposer and seconder for item number 9. Okay, proposed by Councillor Hanlon and seconded by Councillor Hyle. Thank you. Oh, Councillor Barnes, sorry, yes, he had proposed. He gave me a shout, so I'll take Hanlon, yeah. Sorry. Okay, so
Items 10 to 19 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information and the public, may be resolution by excluded during these items of business. So we just need a proposer and seconder to go into closed session, please. So I've got Councillor Howell and seconded by Councillor Hanlon. Thank you. So whilst in committee, the following items were agreed for decision. Item 10, sale of number 13 and number 15, the square Ballinahinch, on the proposal of Councillor Kelly, seconded by Councillor Hanlon, it was agreed to accept the highest offer and proceed with the sale of the site. Item 11, proposed renewal of a licence of lands of Castle Park, Newcastle, to National Westminster Bank for a mobile bank unit. On the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Howell, it was agreed to grant a licence to the National Westminster Bank, permitting them to operate a mobile banking unit at Castle Park each Thursday from 10 a.m. until 12 p.m. for a further 2-year period, subject to a yearly licence fee as set out in the officer's report. Item 12, the proposed lease of area for mobile phone installation at Downpatrick HRC site. On the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Hanlon, it was agreed to defer a decision to establish whether a planning application has been submitted on the site. Item 13, Kilkeel Bowling Pavilion. On the proposal of Councillor Riley, seconded by Councillor Lewis, the final cost estimate was agreed for the refurbishment and upgrade of Kilkeel Bowling Pavilion as per section 4.1 of the officer's report. Item 14, Director Recruitment. On the proposal of Councillor Hanlon, seconded by Councillor Sharvin, the following was agreed. The recruitment for Director, Sustainability and Environment. Confirmed decision in relation to 2.4 of the officer's report. Confirmed to Human Resources nominations to the selection panel for Director of Sustainability and Environment and the Director of Active and Healthy Communities by Monday the 4th of September 2023, together with availability for training. And agreed to seek permission for 3 elected members to be appointed to both recruitment panels. Item 15, consent to assign lease of land at Ballykinler. On the proposal of Councillor O'Hare, seconded by Councillor Sharvin, it was agreed to consent to the assignment of the lease from the play group to the group identified in the officer's report, subject to the consent of the head landlord. It was also agreed to amend or waive the clause in the sublease to permit the new tenant to use the lands as an office to carry out its functions. For noting, the items were deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1, schedule 6 of the October 22 Local Government Act. Item 16, quarter 1 management accounts 2023-24. In the proposal of Councillor Hanlon, seconded by Councillor Barnett, was agreed to note the quarter 1 2023-2024 management accounts. Item 17, the Belfast Region City deal. Annual report and the proposal of Councillor Hanlon, seconded by Councillor Barnett, was agreed to note the BRCD annual report for 2022-2023. Item 18, staff matter, sustainability and environment, and the proposal of Councillor Hanlon, seconded by Councillor Barnett, was agreed to note the contents of the officer's report, including the closure of the canteen since March 2020. And item 19, Newry Leisure Centre swimming pool. On the proposal of Councillor Hanlon, seconded by Councillor Byrne, it was agreed to note the contents of the officer's report with a further report to be tabled at Council to agree a programme of work and closure arrangements of Newry Leisure Centre swimming pool. So that closes us now for our meeting for this evening, so thank you. Sorry. Sorry, I was closing our meeting. So items 20 to 23 are for noting. So I'm going to take those together. Any wonder Gas has given me daggers across the table. So, item number 21, Councillor Sharvin.
And there was Councillor Hanlon saying you were slightly rebellious. Forget Stanton Order sets, just close the meeting, Joe. Chair, obviously, the sickness absence report is a slightly concerning to read, given quite a significant increase in sickness absence over the period of the 12 months that are listed. There's a couple of things. Have we done like a deep dive on why is there such levels? Is there themes that is coming up that we need to sort of plan as a council to address? And it, like in my own work, like we do pulse surveys every 3 months to get feedback from staff members saying, how are things, you know, is things going well, what could we do better? Getting feedback through that way, is the council doing that? And then the third point is this a risk on the audit committee? You know, are we tracking sickness absence as a risk to the council through the audit committee and how that's being tracked as well?
Do you, Councillor Sharvin?
And Katrina's coming up as well. We do track for you know trends, and we know why people are off, so we have information on that. We did meet as a senior management team to look at the information. And we're looking to see if we can do things in a different way, more deep dives within the areas that we are seeing sickness. So I think we have policy and procedures in place. We're going to look to do things differently, see if we can sort of you know try and improve the situation. Katrina, is there anything you want to add to what I've just said?
Thank you, Chair. In terms of that deep dive, that analysis is done very regularly to all levels. Obviously, that contains personal information and sensitive information, so it's not something that we can discuss at tonight's, but members can be assured that that analysis is done and is done robustly in order to help us identify and address as far as possible and support members of staff when they become unwell as well and need to take time off work due to health reasons.
And then in the sense of like a pulse survey, like do we seek feedback from our staff on a regular basis to see how things are going? You know, from an engagement perspective and feeling valued within the organisation that your opinion matters, do we as an organisation seek that feedback and is there a formal process of that?
Sure, yes. The Health and Wellbeing Group lead on that. They did a wellbeing survey a short time ago and it was focused on employee wellbeing and the sort of things that the councillor has talked about in terms of communication, how people feel valued, how people feel appreciated as well. So that was done a short time ago. It may well be that that's something that the Health and Wellbeing Group will look at taking forward again. Chair, thank you.
It's slightly maybe an unfair question. Do you know what engagement levels of response to the survey was to that? You know, is there a significant amount of staff getting involved?
I could provide that information. I don't have it to hand, but yes, I do recall actually the wellbeing group being pleasantly surprised with the degree of take-up of it as well. Chair, thank you.
If that could even be circulated amongst members.
Councillor Sharvin, just in relation to the audit committee, it is on the corporate risk register. So it's corporate risk 7. Corporate risk 8, failure to adequately manage sickness absence resulting in delays and inability to deliver council services. So that goes quarterly and there's actions and actions owner on the risk register to audit committee.
Okay, Councillor Sharvin.
Yes, sorry. Chair, my colleague was rightly saying to me, given all the work that we are doing and tracking it as a risk, you would hope that our sickness absence would be going down rather than going up. So as I take the director's point that we're reviewing and seeing how we can do things differently and hopefully whatever that is has a positive impact. And there is obviously, we should caveat, there is legitimate sickness and, you know, people that are unwell need time off as well. So I'm not questioning why people are off, but in an essence, it's how do we address it?
Thank you. Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. It's item 23. No surprise I asked for this to be on the agenda, and thanks for the report, and thanks for going back through all the committees back to 2015 and seeing the trend has increased, that it wasn't just shouting for the sake of shouting, that it has went from 30 to 35% up to 50%, sometimes more, over 60%. So I do accept, you know, some of the items that were being presented at this committee. It was interesting to read that. I go into other committees. But we've got to get away from reports that are going into closed session that we could be putting partially or the majority into open session. We talked about it in the Belfast City Region Deal report earlier on. I also had noted down there with the mobile phone mast, you know, no costings in that there. Why would that not be an open session? But you know what, if I was sitting as a reporter looking at this agenda, the only thing I'd want to talk about is probably the Erie Swimming Pool, Belfast City Region Deal, but it's all a closed session. And we're getting it in the necks from people. I know all councillors are getting it in the neck by saying, we don't know what's happening in the council. It's all behind closed doors. So that's not being anal about it. It's, we need to get this culture changed. If people are feeling as if all business is done behind closed doors, we must do everything in our effort to try and address that, because we've got a negative, we're viewed negatively from the public on that reason. It's not good enough that we turn around and say, and obviously, listen, before I say this, we respect commercial sensitivity of material as well. So I don't want to just open the floodgates. And we've never taken out commercial sensitive information, unlike some. But we've got to respect that we can't just turn around to people when they're asking about the amount of items in closed session and just say, well, that's the policy. You know, other councils are not getting hammered the way we're getting hammered for not being transparent and not being open. So when we raised it the last time, we wanted to look into it and do something to address it. I know Councillor Hannan had backed me when I said it the last time about addressing it. And down in the recommendations, it says consideration will also be given to matters which can be brought into open session, but with commercial information separate. Not just the note that consideration will be given, I think you should be doing everything in your effort to do that, because that will change the culture of how people view the council. And we can go out and say, listen, we've listened to your concerns. They were ill-founded, most of the, you know, because it was following policy. But we've made changes to make sure that more information is going out into the public without compromising sensitive information. So thanks for the report. But if we could nearly change that recommendation to make sure that we would do all in our power to separate, like the Belfast City Region did one. So I'll make that a proposal. I just don't want it noted, because it'll just fall away. You know, and we've reduced below the 50% for this committee, which is good. Keep going back, but let's make a proposal that we can try and separate the reports and have the appendancy with the commercially sensitive material. And hopefully, if I think Councillor Hannan had agreed with that when I said it a couple of months ago, and hopefully you still agree with it. That's an agreeing face.
Yeah. Yes, no, I absolutely agree. It is a really, really important topic. And I know you're quite right that we seem to be under more scrutiny than other councils in terms of what we are debating in open session. And I know most councillors will agree we've absolutely nothing to hide. And we are very transparent as far as we can be. And we do maybe need to consider, as you've rightly pointed out, separating commercially sensitive material if need be in order to have open discussion on other items. So absolutely agree with all your points there tonight, Councillor Byrne.
Sarah, you want to come in there?
Yeah, so we are trialling this on actually at AHC on Monday night. We have a report that one of the appendices couldn't be in open session, but the report and the other appendancy could. So I've separated it out. It's easy for this one because it's following directly underneath. Now, whether it's as easy going forward to have the report in open and then the appendix in closed, we're not sure, but we're trying on it to see if it's going to work.
Okay. Time for McAteer.
Yeah, it was just on the sickness absence report again. And I know, yeah, we heard Josephine said we're kind of trying to do things differently as well, but I mean, with all respect, I did hear that a few years ago as well. We're talking about trying to do things differently, maybe the word tried differently, and we're going backwards. I suppose the last couple of years probably haven't been the greatest time to sort of to set a trend on, really, you know. But it is disappointing to see, you know, a lot of the reports going negative. But I do think, I just wonder, Councillor Sharvin did allude to it there, I'm just wondering how many of the engagement with the staff are done in an anonymous basis. And, you know, sometimes you'll hear a better feel for things, you know, if people are allowed to put in comments with no names or whatever it is. I'm not sure, don't know how you do it. Sometimes in these open forums, people are very acutely aware of what management think, etc. And what I do know, and I know admittedly it is anecdotally from people, that in other organisations they have noticed with flexibility been introduced, fall off of sickness. And, you know, if you talk to some of the staff in many organisations, people will say when flexibility comes in, there's they feel less compelled in some sense to sort of phone in sick some morning because their kids are sick or somebody's sick at home or whatever, while they can still work away. And I know council staff have said that to me, that they feel that some of them feel that themselves, that there would be less absenteeism, but more flexibility by management in some quarters. You know, so I think that has to be teased out somehow or other, however you do it, because the long-term sick sometimes skew the real figures. So, but it's getting into the realms of the minutiae of it, and if there's staff dissatisfaction around some of the particular sectors, then that needs to be addressed. Because I know some staff members said to me, you know, Declan, why are we not allowed flexibility, but yet other management allow their staff to be flexible, and we can't see any difference, and we would be willing to work. But so I hear that as a councillor. And I think it's my duty to report that back to you and to try and tease out what staff are really thinking about, you know, on how they feel and how they think of the organisation. But I think, you know, if we do that and do it well, I think we gain a lot of respect and you get a lot of buy-in from staff as well. Like some people you mightn't, but in the main, I think it's been proven that you can. So I'm just saying that out there because that's what I'm hearing and I'm observing outside this organisation, others. So just take that on board.
Thank you. Okay, well, I think that's all the questions, and I haven't missed anything more off the agenda. So that's us for this evening. So thank you. And oh, sorry. Pete, I was looking at you. You were nodding. Yeah. Can I have a proposer and seconder, please, for items 20 to 23. Proposed by Councillor Hanlon, seconded by Councillor Byrne. Thank you. Not the